what it means to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I tell you, they sang that song a minute ago, "You Are More." And I thought about tomorrow, celebrate recovery tomorrow night, and I thought about this. I'm going to say this and we'll move on. But I had a conversation with somebody this week, and we were talking about mistakes or problems. And we've all got those things in our lives, right? And we've all have issues. We all have made mistakes. And I made this comment to this person, and this is what Celebrate Recovery is ultimately about. A mistake could potentially, or a problem, could be an event in your life. It is not who you are. And the reason we come to Celebrate Recovery is to get help from God and God's people, being around God's people, to help us move on. We all make mistakes. You might make one on the way home. It might be the way you drive. It might be the way you act. But the grace of God is there for us when we cry out to Him. Amen? Amen. Just a couple of things before we open the Word of God this morning. I want to say thank you to those up in the sound booth that are running the sound for us. Yeah. I appreciate them. Brother Chris Pope, Rusty Monk, Miss Teresa Davis, and Brother Preston's up there. We appreciate you all. You know, and I tell you, I believe this. And by the way, they're working with computers up there. They don't always respond the right way. We did buy a new computer, but y'all folks, I want to tell you something. When things don't go right, they are stressed out. We're sitting down here waiting, and what's 10 seconds can seem like 10 minutes, and it's just a few seconds. But I want them to know, well, we understand that, and we appreciate them, and we thank God for them. I also want to say this morning, I saw John Weaver, and I'm looking here. He's in here somewhere. But I want to say, Brother John, I want to tell you thank you for the work you do cutting this grass here. Yeah. We appreciate it. You know, I made the comment when you're not here, but, Brother, I want you to know how much I appreciate it. And I want you to know, and all of you to know, when you do something for God, it's not taken for granted. Sometimes people do things quietly, and I think most people that do something for the Lord, they want to do it quietly. But I want to tell you, as a pastor, and I'll say this on behalf of the church, what you do for God is not taken for granted. And it does matter. It does matter. Everything matters. And we appreciate it. And also along those lines, I want to say continually, thank you for your giving to the church. God has blessed the church throughout these difficult times of this pandemic. Times when, especially initially, a lot of people lost their job. There are still some people that are dealing with that and trying to find jobs, and we need to be praying for them that God would open up a door for them to find something that's right for them. We've got some in our church. So let's don't lose sight of that. But I don't say thank you for your giving. If God's blessed you and you're able to give, the church does need those funds to continue to operate. I do not want to get to, and I've heard about another church this week that had to actually sell their building because their congregation got down so low, they couldn't take care of the bills that they had, and they actually are meeting in a garage, and their numbers are down, and people get discouraged during times like this, and I understand that, but thank you. You know, you can give to the church by going online and giving. There's a button there on our website called Giving. You can give through PayPal, which is secure. You can also mail in things to our P.O. Box at P.O. Box 524 Hiram, Georgia. And, of course, we've changed some things in our service due to the pandemic. We take up offering as you go out the door. You know, last week we took up offering, and God bless the church. We continue to meet our budget even in these difficult times. But we also took up a love offering last week for the impacted church of Miss Becky Whitener's family out in Louisiana. We took up, and I want to thank the church for $1,095. And I want to tell you, considering obviously the giving to the church for your tithes and offerings and then that giving, folks, that's a blessing, and we thank God for that. We don't take that for granted either, and that's just God doing what God can do. And here's the way I want us to continue to look at this, and I want you to look at this always, whether I'm here or I'm not here, is put God first. Let everything that you do be done about Him, and lift Him up in His name, and let Him be number one. God is number one, not you, not me. God's going to do great things here if we'll just trust Him. I mean, we're seeing that, and I think based on the numbers that we're seeing with this pandemic, we're going to come out of this. It's going to get back to the point that we can have the kind of things in church that we want to have. Well, what do you mean? I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about donuts for our little boys that come in the mornings. I miss it, okay? I'm talking about fellowships. I'm talking about a wild game banquet that we can go ahead and start planning for next spring. I'm talking about maybe after Christmas getting back to Awana. It's probably going to take a little time like that. But, you know, these kids miss children's church. You know, I missed Bible school this past year. I really did. And, you know, I'll tell you why. When we have little kids that tell their parents, I don't want to go to Florida. I want to go to Bible school. There must be something going right around the house of God, okay? And I'm looking forward to getting back to those things. And God's got a plan for this church. We just need to, and I mentioned this last Sunday, I'm going to mention it again this morning, we need to stay on message, okay? Well, what is the ultimate message? Okay, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. The title of the sermon is going to be The Good News Story. I like church signs. I read them when I pass by. When I drive through the country and I look at churches, okay, that's, I think about it. That's where my heart's at. Those people are my people. That's my home. That's where I want to be. And I was going through the country and I read a church sign and here's what it said. We love to tell the story. Now, let me tell you, as we mentioned this morning, staying on message, the message has not changed. The story has not changed. It's the same message that the disciples took as they carried it after Jesus was ascended. He was telling them, he's coming back, he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, and it's still the same today. You know, I stand here before you, and you know, every time I look in the mirror, I realize that I'm not as young as I used to be. A few weeks ago, I was out in the yard, and I was talking to a young man. We were talking about people that I know, people that he knows. He goes up to Rock Baptist Church. It's Alana's little boyfriend, and we were talking about just a lot of folks that I know and preachers. And, you know, I begin to ring off names, and you know, the truth is, he said, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, I remember him. You know why? Because a lot of those people that we've been around in our lives have already gone on to be with the Lord. A lot of those people, in fact, most of them that signed my license to preach in 1986 and my ordination in 1989, seems like a long time ago. It was a long time ago. They've, most of them, already gone to be with God. How many of us today begin to think about it? The people that you used to be in church with, the people you grew up around, a lot of you, the pastor that baptized you, where are they at today? I'll tell you, they're in heaven. And they're waiting because there's going to be some things happen that it cannot happen till you and I get there. But we're going. But I got good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ is still the Son of God. And he still wants to save people. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 18. I'm going to try to keep my favorite tie on as long as I can. Y'all notice this. It represents the season. It's got the pine cones, and it's got the colors, and it's got that big old 8-point right there in the middle of it. It may have to go. Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 11, says this. Jesus is writing. Says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99. Which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, I'm going to read that last verse again. And I want you to understand what God's will is for you, what God's will is for America, what God's will is for every person that walks on the face of this earth. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, I want to give you a thought for just a minute, and I've heard this said, and I heard my mother, she would actually say these words to me, and I've seen it. She said to me that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, children get jealous of one another because of mama. Mama's showing too much attention to that one and too much attention to this one. But let me tell you a lot of times how a mother's heart and mind works. You know, a mama might have 4, 5, 10, 12, however many kids she's got, and all of them can be doing good, but one of them can be in trouble. It's not that mama don't love you because she's not talking to you or calling your name in prayer. Let me tell you where mama's heart's at. Mama's heart's on that one that's out in the world. Mama's heart's on that one that's in trouble. And Jesus Christ died on the cross so that every person might have life. But I want to tell you something. The reason he walked before Jerusalem and cried unto them was not because some of them followed him, but because some of them rejected him. And here's the mercy of God. You and I need to be careful in these days and times that we're living in today that we do not get so hardened that we stereotype everybody or this group or that group and forget that the love and the mercy of God is for all people, and God's grace is still able to go out to a world that needs Him.
Amen.
You see, looking at the Word of God, we see that often God's people are compared to sheep. And here Jesus himself speaks of the lost sheep and the shepherd's effort to find it. If he had one that was lost, he would leave those that were there together, and he would go out and he would pursue and look for that sheep. And he would look for it and he would search for it until he found it, or until he felt like that all hope had been lost. And sometimes that's the way that it is. Sometimes the shepherd can look for the sheep and he can go so far that it's not going to be able to be pursued anymore. Now, folks, we don't want to get to that place, okay? But see, I believe today that Jesus is looking, still looking for lost sheep. Oh, yeah. Well, why do you say that? Let me just tell you why I believe we're here. The Bible says that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation unto usward. You know, sometimes I get to looking and thinking about heaven, and here's what I believe about heaven. When I get to heaven, all the things that I enjoy here, they're not going to be taken away from me. I'm going to have them without sin. Now, I heard Garland Odom say this, and this is just a preacher talk, okay? He said that when you get to heaven, he liked to fish. He said, we're just going to be out there fishing. If we're not catching them, we'll whistle and they'll jump in the boat. Now, remember when Jesus was on the shore and Peter was out there fishing and they had the net and they had fished all night. He said, cast it on the right side and you'll find. And they had 153, remember, and the net didn't break. When you get to heaven, here's one thing that I'm confident of. You are going to be satisfied.
Yes.
Sometimes I get to thinking about that and I get to longing for home. But why do I want God to hold back His mercy and not come today? Because I know people that need to be saved.
Amen.
Because you know people that need to be saved. Now, it's getting harder and harder to convince them that they're even lost. They don't believe it anymore. They don't believe they need forgiveness for sin because so many people reject what sin is. But we've got to stay on message because somebody might hear it. Somebody might be here this morning. Somebody might be here tomorrow night that needs to hear some good news. And can I tell you the word gospel, that's actually what it means, is good news. And the good news is this, is that if you are lost, Jesus has paid a debt for your sin. And He is looking for you. He's looking for you. Now, why is He looking for you? He's looking for you so that He can tell you, He just wants to let you know, all debts are paid. Everything's going to be all right if you'll just accept it. All debts are paid. That's good news. But there is some bad news. And we'll have to talk about that before I can get into the good news. And here's what I want you to understand. If you have never prayed the prayer, whether it be audibly, silently, or from your heart, knowingly, with your heart and your mind devoted to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's the bad news. You're lost. What does it mean? It means you are separated from God because you must accept Him as personal Savior. That's bad news. You see, here's some things to consider, and there are no alternates for this. There are a lot of times at work and I'll have to fill out an authorization for expenditure. I want to spend some money. They want me to prove that I need to spend that money. One thing I always have to fill out is, are there any alternate plans? I say no. Why? Because I want the money. But I want you to understand something this morning. There is no alternate plan. You see, some things that need to be considered, and here's one of them. I want you to think about this for just a minute. Where did you come from? I want you to understand, you got to stop. Sometimes people say, well, I never think about it. Stop and think about it. Where'd you come from? You were created by God, in the image of God, for the purpose of God. That's why we're on this earth. You see, the scripture says that God created the heavens and the earth. He made the first man, Adam, and his wife. He created every living creature, every living thing. And go back to what heaven's like. When they were in the garden, it was perfect until sin came. God created it all. We didn't happen from nothing that turned into something. Drives me out of my mind to even try to talk to some of those people. You see, what actually happened is all part of God's plan, because God wanted you to have a free will. You ain't got to worship God. You don't have to serve Him. You don't have to come to church. God wanted you to love Him because you love Him. You see, Adam was given a choice, and Adam sinned, of taking by what was forbidden. And when he sinned, that sin was passed on all men. And by Adam's sin, all men became sinners, born into sin, born into a curse. That's why as we're here today and we look around the room and, you know, I look over and I really appreciate our youth. Thank you for being here this morning. And I see them, and as I mentioned, I was talking to the young man out here, and he said something about a church, and that went way back in my mind. I said, yeah, I used to preach there when I was a youth preacher. Even before I met my wife. But time goes by. You see, the problem is we're under a curse and you're going to die. Your body's going to get old and it's going to deteriorate and it's going to hurt. And it's going to change. It's because we're under a curse. Now people can say, well, I believe this, I believe that. Well, I'm telling y'all what the Bible says. You see, there is a God, and we are not Him, and there is such a thing as sin. And when Adam sinned, it was passed on all men, and because of that, you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ came into the world so that He could be the Savior of the world, but you've got to accept it. You've got to believe it. Well, what does the Bible say about that? In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 12, it says this, wherefore as by one man, and it goes back to Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on all men, for that all have sinned. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, if any person had been able to stand before God in their own righteousness, there'd been no need for Jesus to come. Because you could have done it on your own if you just would. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. You see, here's where we're at today. Some people recognize it. It's like the song that Alana sang, and she, by the way, she does a great job on that song. Really growing up, already a great singer, going to be even better. She sings that song and we worship and we praise God because we recognize it. We recognize that there is a God. We recognize that we have sinned and we recognize that we need mercy. And we've received mercy and we praise God and we worship God and we assemble. And like Brother Allen mentioned, I like getting around people like to talk about God. But there's some that reject it. They don't want nothing to do with it. They don't want to hear that stuff. They don't want to hear that. Some even call it junk. Some are even burning Bibles in the streets. They reject it. They refuse the reality. They refuse to obey. And they refuse to bow. He's God. You're not. They'll find out. And it's like the scripture that we used a couple of weeks ago. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. As I stood studying this morning, I thought about this verse. This is in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 14. Lot went to his sons-in-law. And there was such wickedness in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that God said, I am going to destroy it. And he went to his sons-in-law, married to his two daughters, and he talked to them. And in the latter part of this 14th verse, this is what it said. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know, today, to pour out this message, this good news story that we love to tell, there are some who reject it, and they mock at it. They'll even laugh. They ride by the church and they laugh when they see that we're gathered in here again. Some of them actually are stopping and counting the cars. See, they laugh and they think basically they are too smart for God. There's a lot of that today. They're too smart for God. But the scripture says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. It says, they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, being a Christian doesn't have anything in the world to do with your IQ. I've known people who are highly, highly intelligent. Highly intelligent that were Christians. I've not known people that couldn't write their name that were Christians. You see, I mentioned this before, the man that actually married my wife and I, he was a pastor, but he had very poor reading. And it had to do with when he was growing up, his education. See, my dad was a pastor most of my life, and he didn't even finish the eighth grade. But I've also known people, like a man that passed away this year, Mr. Robbie Zacharias. They had the intelligence to basically do anything that he could possibly want to do. He was a Christian. It's not about how smart you are, because you're not too smart for God. Neither do you have so little to offer that God doesn't see value in you, because he does. It's about when the Spirit of God moves through a congregation and speaks to your heart, it lets you know by knocking on your heart's door that you're lost. That's the Holy Spirit. And what you have to do is make the decision at that point to accept it or reject it. Here's where we're at in the world today. People are too smart for God. They think you and I are the problem. I want to tell you, we're going to stay on message. God loves those people. Amen. Now here's the good news. Number one, the call is still going out. You know, we're here this morning in the house of God. There's people watching on Facebook. Here's the call. The gospel is still being preached. The good news of Jesus Christ is what the gospel is. The Holy Spirit, through its drawing power, is still reaching out to people's hearts and minds and drawing them to an altar of repentance. And by the way, for you to get saved, you've got to be drawn to an altar of repentance by the Holy Spirit. Amen. People say, well, I don't believe and deathbed conviction. I want to tell you something. They can be 93 taking their last breath, and if the Holy Spirit convicts them, they can be saved. But they can be 93 and rejected God all their life, and if God's given them their last opportunity, they can't just call out when you get ready. You got to move when God draws you. Now, that's just the way that I believe it. But God's drawing somebody today. I feel it. Folks, that's the good news. Here's the good news, that you are not comfortable living the way you're living without God. That's not bad news. That's good news. Because you can be forgiven for sin. Good news. Jesus has not come back yet. You see, we look around us at all the stuff in this world, and although it troubles me, I'm not troubled to the extent that I'm overwhelmed. Why? Because I'm going to heaven. I believe what the Bible says. It's going to get bad enough that one day God the Father is going to say, "Son, go get your church." And he's coming after me. And I don't have to worry about my grandkids being over there in Virginia Beach anymore. Because we're going to be caught up together. And we're going to ever be with the Lord. All of those family and friends that I've lost that have done gone on, he's going to bring them so that I can see them, and we're going to get together. And we're going to have a time. See, that's good news, because he hadn't come yet. Let me tell you something else that's good news. God is long-suffering. You ever look at your kids and say, if I wasn't merciful, you'd be in trouble? I told one of mine that this week. He just looked at me. Good news. Good news. God's looking for you. Looking for you. And he goes to the worst places. When God's looking for you, you can be laid in an alley, outside of a bar, alcohol all over you, beat up. And God's mercy can be poured out of heaven. Why? Because he left the 99 looking for that one that was lost. Good news is that God is looking for you. You see, the good news, and this is good news, and people need to get a hold of this. You cannot be so lost or so bad that God cannot save you. You see, no matter what you've done or where you've been, the power of that sin. Now think about it this way. The power of your sin, of the hold that's on you, is nothing compared to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, when you're saying God can't handle it or nobody knows it, you don't have to tell me. God already knows. And you know that he already knows. Are you going to look at God and say the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary is not great enough to be a covering for my sin? You can't do that. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that by the offense might, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, the verse we teach our kids by the time they're coming out of the nursery, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right. You know, sometimes I get the impression that people think, well, I need to get myself straightened out a little bit. I need to get my best duds on. And I need to get down to church. Well, why don't you come to church? Well, when I get to doing better, I'll come. You come just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And you come just like you are, and God can deal with you just like you are. You see, I believe we get saved first and then do the process of growing. And by the way, you can confirm this just looking at the life of Paul. You get closer and closer to God the more you walk with God. And the closer you get to God, the more easily it is for you to recognize your own sin and see his holiness and your lack of holiness. That's going to come through getting saved first and then walking with him. That's good news. Good news is in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he hath made him, talking about God and Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Jesus, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the folks, I want to tell you this, and I'm about to move on. If I'm going to have any righteousness, it's going to be because of Jesus. It's not because of me. Now, let me give you some more good news. This is good news, and I wish people could get a hold of this. It's free. You don't have to work your way in. You know, I'm a worker, okay? My wife says, you're going to work yourself to death and leave me here. I said, no, I'm keeping working so I can stay here. I realized a couple of years ago that recliner would kill you. But this is good news. You know, there are people right now, every religion of the world, other than grace-based Christianity, they're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to do enough good deeds. They're trying to give enough. They're trying to be enough. They're trying to check enough boxes. They're trying to get rid of enough things. When in reality, the good news is that it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a different message. But the Bible says that you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What does that mean? That means if you get saved by the grace of God, you might find yourself working for Him. But you're not going to do it to earn salvation. You're doing it because of what He's done for you. Amen. See, because the Scripture says that the just shall live by faith. Now, folks, that's good news. You know, sometimes, and I've spent my whole life in church, taught Sunday school classes from the time I was a teenager, and I've talked to a lot of people that said, you know, I just don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. I'm not preaching to try to make you doubt your salvation. If you've accepted Jesus, you got it. Sometimes I've talked to people, and I remember one young lady, and my wife will remember this person, I'm not going to mention their name. But we counseled with this young lady regularly. She would come to Sunday school and we would talk to her, and sometimes she'd be so broken up. She'd be crying, she'd be concerned, doubting her salvation. Didn't know for sure. How can I know for sure? You know, and sometimes there are things that cause you to doubt your salvation, and maybe God will let me preach on that here soon, but, you know, it could be a failure. It could be something that happened in your life. But I want to give you some good news. You can know for sure. You know, I meet people from time to time that want to convert me. You know, they knock on the door. You ever been to a visiting church? Especially some of these off up in the mountains, and you go in and sit down on the back row, you just want to go to church. They don't know you're a visiting preacher, and they try to get you saved. I've had them come to me. I know they wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to do anything like that. Here's what I want you to know this morning. You can know for sure that you're saved. That's good news. I'm not saved because I'm good. Truth is, sometimes I'm not good. I'm not saved because I give enough, because my wife says I'm stingy. I'm not saved because I've done enough. And you can't do enough. But you can know for sure. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, folks, I don't have to tell you. Y'all have heard me preach it before. Scripture says there's just one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. But good news. Good news. He's not changed. The call's still going out. You can still be saved. And you can know. You say, well, I'm just troubled. I'm not sure. Pray and ask God, trusting in your heart, and tell the devil he's a liar. Amen. You see, that song that Zach Williams sings, fear he is a liar. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we're troubled. Sometimes we deal with things that really cause us to question. But one thing you can always be sure of, God has not changed. And everything you do the rest of your life, when He saved you in His sovereignty,
He already knew you were going to do it. And he didn't look ahead in time and say, I see down the road you're going to have trouble with this. No, he's got saving grace. And then when we need it, he's got forgiven and living grace. And then at the time, well, we're going to have it. He's going to have dying grace. And I know he's mine, I'm sure. I'm going to ask Jack and Alana, if they would, to come and sing this song. And they're going to sing this song, All My Hope is in Jesus. Ask them to sing this song as I begin to think about this message this morning. You see, my hope of salvation, this good news, is in Jesus Christ. You say, well, he was just a prophet, or he was just this, or he was just that. Well, let me tell you, you're just going to have to make a decision. Because he's either through who the Bible said he was, and he's the Son of God, and he paid the debt for your sin, and you can believe on him and have eternal life, or you cannot. But you'll never be saved unless you come and bow before him. See, but the Bible says that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As they sing this song, if you would please stand to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, let me tell you, the good news is the altar is still open. The good news is the call still going out and the Holy Spirit still speaking. If you're here and you want to pray and you'd like to take one of these men or one of these ladies by the hand as you come down, we ask men pray with men and ladies with ladies. Or maybe you're out there listening on Facebook. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest preachers I know got saved in his den by himself. There wasn't anybody there that got him. You know what happened? The good news had been told to him. And the Holy Spirit visited him. And rather than spending, you know, the night in there sleeping in his bed, he was troubled. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And he sat in his den all night, and about morning, he slipped off that couch by himself. And he accepted Jesus. So let me tell you something. I knew this man before, B.C. and after. He got saved. You can get saved when you get ready to get saved. As they sing this song, if you'd like to come, would you please come?
break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up.
Pick me up.
Showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing.
Sing that Mercy Walked In again. And if you understand what this song's about, you know what it means. It's exciting to be saved. To know that you know that you know. And it's okay to get excited about it. Now, we're not saved by our feelings, but I'm glad I have something that I can feel. And it's something that I want the world to be able to see, that it's real to me, that my God's not dead and he's made a difference in my life. Maybe this song, I felt like they need to sing it again. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs to pray. It's okay to pray. It's still early. Go ahead and sing the song. Amen.